Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And welcome in to the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery Avalanche,
yes, sir.
Ale with the Avs in that playoff run. You know, tension, big dubs, tough L's. You wash it all down with the scrumptious, delicious Breck Brewery Avalanche Ale.
Scrumptious.
Yeah, scrumptious. You like that?
I like that.
Is it a scrumptious NBA draft, my friend Harrison Wind? That's what we're here to talk about. I've been in Harrison's DMs just harassing him with my worst draft takes. So this is just an extension of that, getting him on the show, forcing him on. We've also got our guy, Justin Michael, tapped into David Roddy, obviously our college hoops head on staff, Justin Dialed, and then Hankster bringing us what's going on the left coast. The Pac-12.
What exactly are you doing here?
Again, just my way to force my way onto a show, get to talk draft with my friends and people who I enjoy talking hoops with, and Henry. I kid. Scrumptiousness aside, how do you see this draft, Harrison? All of a sudden, it feels like everything and anything could happen for our Denver Nuggets with two picks in the first round.
Yeah.
And trades up, trades down. Everything seems possible on Thursday night.
I agree. Everything does seem possible. And you definitely felt that way after they got that number 30 pick.
Yeah.
Like two first round picks for a team that's trying to win an NBA championship next season.
Right.
You know, you don't usually see that too often. So I'd be surprised if they made both the picks. Part of me is just combing through this list of prospects potentially available at 21 and being like, all right, how can this guy help? Is this the wing defender that the Nuggets need? Another part of me is like, F the picks. Like, do we really need two draft picks? There's no finals team that I can remember lately, maybe other than Tyler Hero in Miami a few years back, who has a rookie playing a big role. So do the Nuggets really need these picks, or would they just be better off trading them? I don't know where I'm going to ultimately come down, but they've got a ton of options. That's for sure.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah. Lots of options. And of course, you know, new GM, so there's a little uncertainty there. But, you know, Justin, from more of a college basketball standpoint, this seems like a really nice draft class. It seems like we see this in the NFL all of the time, right? Like, we talk about it from the college side, and then you start to see that college translation come to the NFL draft and then the NFL. And this, the first real NBA draft where it's like, holy shit, there are no point guards. There are no centers. These are all wings.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just a product of, you know, the modernization of the game and, you know, everything being stretched out. You need versatility. You need guys that can defend along the perimeter and, you know, can kind of do some things for you on the glass. And
yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. I mean, like you said, we talk about it every week on the draft pod with the NFL and, you know, DBs and edge and wide receivers and quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not talking about guards and running backs and, you know, defensive tackles like you might have in the 80s, but it's an intriguing class. It's a lot of guys that I feel like we got to watch on a high stage, which is not necessarily always
true.
The case. You know what I mean?
True.
We got to watch Chet Holmgren playing elite competition throughout the non-conference schedule, and then obviously the NCAA tournament. Same thing goes with, you know, Banchero, who I thought, you know, I was kind of skeptical of him going into the tournament. I like him more after it. So yeah, I like what we've seen out of these guys. And I think it's interesting the way that this has played out with all the wings.
Yeah, it's true. Lots of teammates in this first round. You got a couple Auburn guys, a couple Baylor guys, a couple Duke. Kansas guys, lots like Duke's entire top five. Yeah,
their entire starting five, pretty much.
In the mix.
Why wasn't that team better?
So, no, it is,
makes you wonder.
It is intriguing. Hank, as a guy who spent plenty of time at Ball Arena, what are you hoping to see from your Nuggets?
That's a good question. I'm skewed by the fact that, like, the guys around where the Nuggets are picking, I just don't know a bunch about. Like there's guys who are up at the
That's
top.
Why
you're
here,
like,
Hank.
Oh, they're
why
so
I'm
cool.
Here.
I appreciate that. I'm so excited for this. Yeah. But I just look at it, it's like Harrison said, are these guys going to help the Nuggets win the title? And the other part of it is, I mean, how often do you see a rookie contribute? Sure. But then what about second-year player? What about third-year player? Because it's a title window, not a title year. So I guess I see it. At the same time, though, if it's me, I'm calling everybody I can saying, hey, we've got two firsts, Monte and Will Barton. What can you give us for that? Because I think that there's got to be a good player, a probably really good player that you could get if you made that big trade.
That'd be a massive trade.
It'd be so big.
Yeah. But I think that something like that is in play with Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Will Barton, Monte Morris, clearly the two most likely to be traded players. Will Barton, I'd just be stunned if he was back next season. Right. I think he's definitely going to get traded this summer. Monte, if you look at just how the guard depth chart stacks up, you have Jamal Murray, you have Bones Highland. Monte Morris is kind of a luxury at this point, although he's just also really freaking good.
Yeah.
So he's got a pretty tradable salary, you know, but like Jamal Murray coming off an ACL, do you want Monte there as some insurance? Right. You could say that as well. So I think both those guys are certainly getting dangled as potential trade chips along with both first round picks. So, I mean, I don't think you're wrong.
I think with Monte, like, he's just such a good basketball player. And I think it's easy to look at him and say, like, yeah, the contract's $9 million a year, $11 million a year, whatever. It's a good value. You could get something great for him. But still, if you just hold on to him, he would be so valuable. To me, he's a better option to trade at the deadline, probably. Just make sure that you're happy moving.
Yeah, you see how Jamal looks early in the season, too. You see what steps Bones has taken.
But, I mean, if the offer's there, like, I'm tempted. I'm tempted. It just, if you're going to trade Monte and then replace him with another guard, aren't you just kind of asking for a downgrade there? And is that really what you want to do in a title window?
Right.
The only Monte-like trade that comes back to me is George Hill being flipped for the 15th pick, which turned into Kawhi Leonard. And that was a contending team.
I would take Kawhi.
Shed it. Same.
Yeah. That's a hell of a callback.
So I'm here, everybody.
But you know, he's backing up Tony Parker. The narrative was like, oh, he'd start for most other teams if Tony.
The narrative actually was George Hill might be better than a Tony Parker on the decline. Mm-hmm. That was actually the narrative.
How'd that work out?
Tony Parker was fine. That's how it worked out.
But you're right though. The default for most NBA organizations is doing what the Cavs when LeBron came back did, which is like shed every good young piece you have and get veteran guys in. And that is that the model the Nuggets want to go under? I don't know.
I think they want to go that direction. I think Calvin Booth took over and is very, very confident in what his vision is. And I think that's more getting longer and more athletic and more defensive minded.
Monte, Will Barton, two firsts. For Kyrie.
Leave this podcast right now. Walk out that door.
Banned from the set.
The Kyrie Jamal backcourt. Mm.
Maybe not Kyrie, but who are some guys you have circled at 21 and 30 years?
21 and 30. So the top two guys on my board, it's so tough when you're putting together like a Nuggets big board because you don't know who's going to be there. I kind of just disregarded everybody projected to go in the lottery and worked from there.
Love that.
So the top two guys on my board for the Nuggets are Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara and Tari Eason out of LSU. Next up is Dalen Terry and Marjon Beauchamp. It's kind of my top four right now, and then I think there's a step down from there. But I think if Denver wound up with definitely one of those top two guys, Dale and Terry, and then Beauchamp is probably the latest projected guy out of those.
Right.
But any of those four guys, I think that's a nice outcome.
Yeah. You know, Dale and Terry, obviously covering CU, I get to see him play.
Yeah.
Kind of surprising that he's supposed to be up this high.
It is, man.
And then you remember, like, yeah, he's 6'7" and all those sorts of things, and so he's more translatable than some of the better players,
yeah,
I that's guess. The game. But, I mean, you see it. Like, especially when you remember what the Nuggets are missing. Like, as much as I would love to see him add Nikola Jovic, honestly, I hate that his name is that because it makes me think they're not going to do it at
Henry's
all.
Henry's low-key a big Nikola Jovic.
I love the way that he plays. He's like Gallo, but just like before the ACL thing.
That's his comp.
I freaking love that guy. But again, like, you don't need offense probably. Like, it makes sense just to add somebody big and long who can defend. And Dalen Terry seems like somebody who could defend not 1 through 5, but plenty of other players. I don't know. I think that probably is just like a good, smart, reasonable pick that, in my opinion, wouldn't be all that fun.
Any of those four guys that kind of stand out to you, Justin? Obviously, you know, the small school, you're tapped into that. You watch plenty of SEC hoops. And
I like Jalen Williams the most that he brought up. Just, I mean, that Santa Clara team was really deep. The WCC in general was fun. I was just pulling up his numbers because I was curious. I knew he took a big jump with three-point shooting this past year, but I didn't realize he was a 40% three-point shooter. 51% from the field. It gives you some length and just some versatility. And I like his upside the most, I think, at all those guys that Harrison brought up.
He just seems so safe, Harrison.
You're just not going to get a better basketball player at 21, yeah. I don't think. He's so well-rounded offensively, defensively. But the chatter is he could go in the late teens or the mid-teens. So I don't even know if he's going
to
be there.
Sportsbook changed his prop to 16.5.
All right. Let's disregard.
I know. All I need to hear is the three-point percentage and 7'2 wingspan. Like, where do I? Oh, I'll sign in blood.
I know.
Dalen Terry, too much PJ Dozier vibes?
There are definite PJ Dozier vibes.
A little bit, right?
Is that a bad thing, though?
No, double up. Why not?
I love that. That's where we're talking. Like, PJ Dozier isn't even a Nugget. But it's like, double up on him. Let's get another PJ Dozier. Like, so, just assuming he's going to be.
What Hank said about Dalen Terry was like spot on, because you look at him and you're like, okay, this guy shot the ball only 6 times a game last year. Mm-hmm. He averaged 8 points.
Put up 5 on the buffs.
Yeah.
Right. didn't
couldn't even score against Colorado.
Yeah, shout out Nick Clifford. Lock that man down.
Right.
Now he's head of the NBA.
Like, are we really talking about this guy as a potential number 21 pick? And he could go earlier than that because he's 6'7 with a nice wingspan. I think like a 6'10, 6'11 wingspan, maybe 7 foot. He can play all 3 guard spots. I was reading that Arizona was actually at its best when he played point guard last season. So he can play all 3 perimeter spots. He can guard 1 through 4.
Yeah.
He's super athletic. He's like a freak athlete.
Right.
Gets steals, finishes. He's a Swiss Army knife in a similar way that PJ Dozier was, to be totally honest. He's a good passer. He kind of gives me Andre Iguodala vibes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's who I've compared
him
to.
I like that.
So,
what you just described,
I'm really intrigued.
You could have been talking about Dyson Daniels, who's a G League guy projected to go top 10. His scouting report is maybe identical to what you just read for Dalen. And they're, I mean, if Dalen Terry's 19, Dyson Daniels is like 6 months younger. Like, we're not talking about a 5-year difference.
Yeah.
You know? Big story of this draft before we move on. I've got some draft props, so don't worry.
Okay.
On record, the top 3, that's the big story of this draft. Give me your rankings. Chet, Paolo, Jabari Smith, where are you settling in?
Oh,
how's it pan out, Justin?
Do I have to go first? I don't want to go first.
All right, so
Justin, you go first, Justin.
I want to clarify one thing before we go. Are we ranking like what we think are the best 3 players, or what we think the order is going to be?
No,
because that's what I think in talent.
Talent.
Chet, Jabari, Ben Carroll.
I love that. Oh, I'm so torn. I've been back and forth Chet, Paolo for weeks.
I think Paolo's might be the safest pick of the 3.
On his offensive game transfers so
it
nicely.
It seems like the chatter lately is, guys, like, Paolo's actually the best player.
Yeah.
So
well, it all comes down to, like, the best defensive player in the NBA can only go so far. The best offensive players can, like, their limits know no bounds.
I mean, he's a three-level scorer.
That, I think, is the appeal to Paolo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone references the Tech game in March Madness and how he was able to just do NBA stuff, run the offense from the pick and roll, from high screens, and like.
Well, that's, you know, that's what did it. That's really what sold me on him is was just how composed he played in the tournament. It wasn't. I mean, you knew he had the ability to hit shots. You know, you knew he could create separation. You know, he's good in isolation. He can get his own shot up. But I just kind of wondered, you know, can he be that guy? You know, when it's on the line, and he was fine, man. Like. He carried that team. There's something about Chet that fascinates me. And I
under the fact that he's 7'2".
He's a spider.
Yes.
No, 95.
It's from like a mentality standpoint though, when you watch him, because you know, everyone talks about how skinny he is and he's just gonna get bullied. I never really saw it happen at the collegiate level. He was a really good shot blocker. His timing is phenomenal. I mean,
people
he's obviously
rave about his IQ.
And he makes good plays. He's a good passer. I mean, I think if it pans out, obviously, I think his ceiling is definitely the highest. But I just think that Banchero is a safe pick. I mean, you can't go wrong with a guy that can just go on the floor and score 20 for you at any point.
Which is crazy because Jabari might have the highest floor and the highest ceiling in someone. Like, you know, like we almost forget him, but I'm with you. I'm so intrigued by those top two. Harrison?
I'm a Chet guy as well.
Let's
I love Chet.
Team Chet, baby.
Like Justin was saying, he's kind of a dog. He's a dog.
Oh, he's got that dog in him.
Yeah, he's got that dog in him. I go Chet, Jabari, Paolo. Paolo's defense gives me pause.
I know.
It's real inconsistent.
Yeah, it's just.
Is he a five defensively?
Yeah, he's kind of a tweener.
Ugh,
like,
I hate it.
I think Jabari Smith might have the highest floor. Like. He's got really
an easiest to play, like a seamless fit.
Yeah, you can put him anywhere. You can play the four or the five.
Yeah.
But I'm a Czech guy, so those are my top three. I actually, if I was picking one, though, I'd probably take Jaden Ivey, to be totally honest.
Man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Why has his, like, throughout the season, there was, you know, decent, I guess, like, the way people were talking, it kind of seemed like that could actually happen. Now, I mean, like, the last 8 weeks or so, I mean, it kind of seems like he's consensus four.
Yeah.
Why is he dropped?
Well, and that assumes the Kings don't screw it up because when does the fall end?
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's just been a little bit of groupthink in terms of, oh, you know, these three are the top three.
Yeah.
And then there's a gap.
Yeah. They seem freakier. Like, Chet obviously is just like odd to look at, but then like Banchero is
actually freaky.
Like, thick and big, and Jabari's like a 6'10 jump shooter. Like, it's easiest like look at them and be like, yeah, you're just a freak. Whereas even as like a big point guard, you're still just like, okay, Jaden Ivey, you're another guard. There's a lot of guards around.
Is Ivey being miscast as a point, as like that John Wall, Jay Morant comp, when it really should be more of a Donovan Mitchell comp?
No, I think he's John Wall.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's his role. Lead ball handler, if you want to put him in that category.
Right, which...
He'd be a lot of fun if you could have him in an effective pick and roll.
Sacramento.
You know, you put some wings around him where he has some options to pop it out. You know, he can get to the rim. Like, he's a really fun player. Him and Mathurin before he got hurt were like two of my favorite college players to watch last year.
If the Nuggets trade up, I hope it's for Benedict Mathurin. He's a so there have been two players.
Mock that five in ESPN's mock today. So.
That's a big trade up.
Plus 500 on DraftKings Sportsbook app though.
To do what?
To go top five?
Ben Mathurin, fifth overall.
Oh, at number five. Who's picking five?
Detroit.
Yeah.
I like that. It's
a good fit.
Yeah.
I just think the Kings screw up four and Ivy goes five. But that may be a story for another day.
Yeah.
That's just like a crazy athlete, though.
No,
like,
you're right. You can't, with the Kings picking four, you can't. It's just,
they just toss Halliburton.
Throw any logic out the window at that point.
But there's something freaky about Chet where I, too, think it's a little Anthony Davis-esque. I'm not sure that body's even fully coordinated, and maybe by 24, 25, it's like you see this guy's offense as a fully formed human being, and it's like,
yikes. Well, like, every now and then but you would watch out. Him. That's he would the do these things. Sorry, I interrupted you, Dre. That's my bad.
No.
He's
freaky.
Like, every now and then he looks kind of derpy, like a dinosaur, like you're saying, where he's kind of undeveloped. Yeah. And then other times you see him and you're like, out. Like, he actually has crazy body control for somebody that's 7 feet with that wingspan and moving. Yeah. Like, he's a good athlete. I don't know, man. I know it's all projection, but I have a hard time walking away from that ceiling if I'm picking.
The NBA draft is just so weird in that way.
You're star hunting more than any other league.
You're just, because it's all about, like, do you have one guy who can win a title? Mm-hmm. It's like either yes or no. And then you need to find like two other guys who are like at least fringe all-stars. Maybe you just pair him with one other. And that's why, like, Chet Holmgren, I think it's 50-50. He's either like just a freak stud athlete or he's kind of just like a straight up bust. Like, it's so easy to see him becoming a bust. And that's honestly kind of true with most of these guys up at the top, but that's the NBA.
That's the NBA for you. What gives you the guarantee of not busting out is Ivaka TV, where the nonsense finally ends with these local blackouts. No more of that. Watch the Nuggets, watch the Avs, watch the Rapids, watch Altitude Sports, AT&T Sports, get the Rockies, get the DNVR channel on there, man. Ivaka TV, it's a great deal. That's only $15 per month for the first 3 months, plus a receiver. Go to ivaka.com/DNVR to check it all out, get their great deals. Let's end this nonsense, because we just can't. We gotta watch our local teams by any and all means necessary, and the good folks at Ivaka TV allow us to do that. Also, DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, DraftKings Sportsbook, new users, which none of these guys are, can bet $5
to win. Definitely not new.
Old hat over here, Mr. Wind, is to win $150 on Avs against the Lightning. Don't even have to get your pick right. It's the best deal in sports gambling. Also, they have all these draft props, which we're going to get into right now. Same game parlays. We've been hitting up left and right. We have the same game parlay magician over here, Justin Michael. DraftKings Sportsbook offering same game parlays pre-cooked for you as well. Download that DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use that promo code DNVR. New customers can get that deal, 5 to win 150 on the NHL. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Did that hit a nerve, Hank?
He took my crown.
So wait, what happened? You were the same game parlay king. Now you're not.
Three in a row, then missed one, and then Justin went on the show, and then then he took my crown.
Here's the thing, Hank. I'm only on like 2-3 times a month, that's the perfect amount. Because I give a couple of bets that I'm really confident on, and I'm out. If I was if I'm in daily, you know, then I'm just throwing out losses.
Next time you miss the same game parlay, I'm getting on the next day to take that crown back.
Justin, you give that bets invite, he's dialed. He just sharpens up. But you know, people who know about the draft, like you, Harrison, can bet on this stuff.
Well, I don't know that much about it. But
there's lots of props. And lots of guys right in that Nuggets range, like Blake Wesley, the over-under set suspiciously at 21.5. How do you feel about that, Harrison?
I think he's going to go before 21.
You do?
Yeah. It seems like there's some buzz about Blake Wesley.
Oh, man, let's go.
Seems like there's some intrigue in the late teens.
Oh.
I hope he doesn't get to Denver, because I don't want the Nuggets to take him.
His scouting report read very similar to what I thought Gary Harris might be coming out of Michigan State.
Yeah. Like, Blake Wesley's good.
Yeah.
He's got potential, I think. Nice combo guard. Can do a little bit of everything. Should be good on both ends, but
it's just a 3-point shot.
Putting a 19-year-old point guard into the Nuggets timeline right now, I just am not a fan of that. Even if they trade Monte Morris. Now, if you trade Monte Morris, I feel like you want another guard that you can play. Blake Wesley's not playing for Denver next year.
No,
that wouldn't make any sense. Moving Monte and then...
Oh, it's so tough.
The thing is, Wesley's been mocked to Denver on a couple of these.
But is that just because they have a new GM and like nobody knows? Like, you know what I mean? Everybody's just kind of guessing on Booth.
Maybe.
And somebody's got inside
just terrified me. His scouting report also kind of reads not too dissimilar to RJ Hampton's. EJ Liddell set at 20.5. I need him to go to the Bulls at 18 because that's what the good folks at CHGO Bulls.
I know they like him.
And he's a Chicago kid.
Ah, that's there it is. Yes.
Is that a Nuggets target?
I hope not again. I think EJ Liddell's good. Boy, like really, really good.
Couldn't he be a great shot blocker, Harrison?
Yeah, but he's 6'7". With a 7'2" wingspan.
This one has him at 6'5.5".
I think that's without shoes.
Must be.
Yeah, I think he measured 6'7" at the combine.
They wear shoes, though.
That is true, on. But it's like...
Wait, can I start claiming my height in shoes?
You I feel should. Like that's what I'm
6'2", y'all.
I'm going up to 6'2" in shoes also.
There were shoes in the NFL, too.
I think my shoes, sadly, just get me to like 5'8.5". So that's not great. Yeah.
No, E.G. Liddell could be Paul Millsap 2.0.
I love that comparison. Comp you've been putting out.
But here's the thing. I feel like 8 times out of 10, Paul Millsap flames out of the league after a couple of years.
He sure
especially
does.
Today.
I guess Paul Millsap is only 6'7".
Yeah.
So he wasn't that
he's
much
He's E.J.
Taller.
Liddell.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you.
Wash your mouth with soap.
I would go over, though. I'd go over, Andre.
Would you?
Yeah.
He just doesn't give you modern NBA vibes.
Right.
Does he? Okay. I like that.
But if it's Chicago, I know our CHGO guys are high on him.
Does Nikola Jokic give you modern NBA vibes? Over under 20.5.
Over. Over. Yeah, I think he's going to slide a little.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
It just seems like that's one of those guys that
such
like
a smooth shooter.
All the just the smoothest shooter. That's another one where it's just like he takes all those tough three-pointers. Like there's guys up in his grill and he chucks them up and still shoots like whatever 34%.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't sound great, but I do think like he's just such a good scorer. So well-rounded offensively. I feel like the league's got to be high on him.
When you watch Jovic, what are your thoughts could defensively?
Oh, he's got a ways to go.
Mm-hmm. Because,
he's going to be very bad defensively.
He's a year, 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Well, you know, that Netflix movie, Hustle, you know, they draft the European dude, and he's, like, really great offensively.
The European dude. It's Juancho freaking Hernan Gomez.
No, that's Bo Cruz, not him. The guy that they draft from Germany.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that, really skilled. He looks great. Everyone loves him, but he has no interest in playing defense.
Yeah.
To me, that's Jovic.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Look at my heart.
If the Nuggets win a title, it's going to be because they're
on. Come on.
I wouldn't mind leaning into the offense.
Would you really?
If his name was not Nikola Jovic, would you like him?
Yeah, no. That's why I didn't even like look at the videos because I was like, oh, this is so dumb. And then now I don't think they're going to draft him specifically because that's his name. I wish his name was anything else. Because he's just like such a fun player. Like in terms of just like funness in this draft class, I feel like he's right up there at the top.
He definitely would be very fun.
No doubt fun.
Just in a Europe knockdown for 3-point
shooter. Yeah. No. No.
Those Megalek games at 3 a.m. are going to be lit for you, Henry. Yeah.
He's so
Marjon
good.
Beauchamp, a guy who you have mentioned, his number set at 24.5. Is that a guy if you get sneaky and you wait till 30 and maybe you flip 21 with Monte, as we've talked about, you could still get
at 30? Oh man, I would have flashbacks to 2017.
No,
if that was the case. They trade back and still don't get their guy.
Oh, that's bummer.
That's interesting because Beauchamp is definitely being mocked in the 25 to 30 range.
Yep.
So, what was it? 24?
24.5, yep.
Yeah, I'll go over.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move to you, Justin. David Roddy, a DMVR athlete, All-American, star at CSU. One of the more fun, lots of people feel how Henry does about Jovic, about David Roddy in the draft community, and divisive. A little bit of what EJ Liddell, the slander EJ Liddell was getting from that corner over there from Mr. Wind. David Roddy might be getting +200 on DraftKings Sportsbook to go round one. What are your vibes right now, man?
I mean, I'll bet on it.
It's fun. It's fun. Again, it's fun. It's like rooting for Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. I think he's probably going to be an early second round pick. is kind of based on what I've been hearing, based on the things that I'm reading too, just kind of mixing those two. I think he ends up going right around that like 32 to 40 range, and I would keep an eye on Toronto at 33 specifically.
Ooh, Toronto.
Like that. That okay. would be a great endorsement for him from that front office.
Yeah, no, Toronto drafts great, so.
Yeah, I mean, as good as anyone. And Nuggets connections you're hearing on Roddy Harrison? Because he is getting mocked to 30 by some.
I did see that. I think they like him. I don't think they like him that much to take him at 30.
Mm-hmm. Would it be a good fit?
Would it be a good fit in Denver? He'd be, I think, a good fit because he kind of gives them something that they don't have. The Nuggets don't really have that like gritty, high motor, defensive, all around guy who's looking to do the dirty work.
Yeah.
And I think Roddy could do that for an NBA team.
I feel like it's hard for me to say like whether he fits or not, just because I don't know what he does.
And that's he not does everything. That's
exactly. But like something is going to pop. Like, is he, he's like, he defends wings. He's good at that. Or like maybe he loses like 10 pounds and he defends guards. And you're like, oh, that's what he does. Or
we
like
talk maybe, about anchor traits, right? What is David's anchor trait?
Yeah. I think it's like maybe he's good at at shooting threes. Maybe that translates. Maybe he's better in the paint scoring. Like, it's just so hard for me to see like what he's going to actually do well to say like, yeah, he fits in because they have this hole right here. I think it's kind of like a wild card. It feels like kind of, if things work out, he's kind of like a smaller Draymond, right? Where it's like the passing ability, ball can kind of go through him, maybe a little bit limited offensively, but has a couple good years where he's knocking down threes. I don't know. He's just such a weird prospect. Unique is probably, let's call him a unique prospect. Weird sounds mean.
Yeah.
What would be your sell to an NBA team for David Roddy?
Versatility. I mean, the thing that I talked about this with Harrison and Brendan on the Rams pod is just like, his greatest selling point is probably also his greatest detriment if you're going to use it against him. It's just that he's, you know, a jack of all trades, and it's, you know, you can't just say like he's going to be a rim protector. He's going to be a, you know, lights out 3-point shooter. And I will say shot 40% from deep, you know, this past season. So
and not just catch and shoots.
No,
yeah.
You know, he was able to create his own shot. I do think he's a guy that's going to be able to score at multiple levels for you, but yeah, I think defensively, are you quick enough to stay with guards? Can you, you know, guard bigs that have half a foot on you?
Right.
Because, you know, in that Michigan matchup, it didn't go very well for him. Now, I will say, in a larger sample size, I saw him handle, you know, bigs from San Diego State, Creighton, Orlando Robinson from Fresno State, another NBA prospect. Right. He did it fine. That Michigan game wasn't exactly like I would say watch other film. Don't just focus on that one. But yeah, I mean, that's the big tough thing with him is just, do you have a role for him definitively? Denver, like Harrison said, I think he could carve out some minutes. I also don't think, you know, like, is David Roddy the missing piece that makes Denver a championship contender? 100%. Probably not. And y'all know I freaking love David Roddy.
Of course.
But yeah, I don't know. I think Denver is probably some wishful thinking on local fans' parts, and I get it, but I don't really see it happening. Unless he's undrafted. And at that case, like, I think they would love to bring him in and, you know, try and get summer league deal. No. And,
yeah. Or even get back into the second round if he's still there late.
That too.
Yeah.
But I do think he will get drafted, and I think he'll get drafted in the first 15 picks or so of that second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Toronto as an early second at 33.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think part of the sell on him also is just, he's a guy who plays winning basketball, and you stick him on a bench unit, and he just makes the right plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the number one thing, and I come from the Nikola Jokic school of basketball, of course, but the number one thing I want in a player, the number one trait above everything, is high IQ. Mm-hmm. And, like, David Roddy has that. You know, he's going to make the right play. He's going to pass it when there's the right pass to make. He's going to shoot it when he's open. He's going to like make a play for somebody else when that opportunity presents itself. So like that in the second round is attractive, I think.
Totally.
And he knows what he needs to do. You know, he was the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year, but he understands that, you know, I'm not going to get drafted and be a guy that's going, you know, for 25 a night. That's going to be putting up a bunch of shots. He's not going to go out and, you know, try and play hero ball and, you know, be like, see, this is why, you know, you all slept on me. He's just going to go out and, you guys want me to play defense, get rebounds? I got it. You want me to dish it out? I got it.
Just has like crazy high upside, I feel like. We maybe not like superstar upside, but for a second round pick, like chance that he's a total lockdown defender. I mean, he could be one of the best 3-and-D guys in the league if the jump shot translates. It's just so hard to say what he's going to be, but if you want to look at it as like boom or bust, like maybe his game just doesn't translate. Like early in the second round, you absolutely take that risk.
Oh yeah, like we were talking about all these second round guys on the DMVR Nuggets pod today. Yeah. It's like this guy couldn't shoot as a freshman at UCLA. Yeah. He barely played, but he's 6'8" with a 7-foot wingspan.
Exactly.
Like this other guy, like Patrick Baldwin, went to Milwaukee and just sucked last year.
Yeah.
He was a black hole on offense. But then David Roddy, who could get picked along all these guys, is a legit really freaking good player.
It's like Trey McBride, All-American. It's just people, you know, you look at it and smaller school.
Yeah.
A little bit of a divisive prospect just in terms of Trey. Like there was some athleticism type stuff that people questioned. At some point it's just like, right, but just watch him play football. He's a good football player. Yep. David Roddy is a good basketball player. There is a role really in the NBA for David Roddy. He just, you know, it's can he land in the right organization? Do they give him some time to kind of figure it out as far as, you know, what his role is? Is he that 3-and-D guy on the wing? Is he guarding 1 through 5? We shall see. But I'm very intrigued.
Like,
it's exciting.
What is he as a cutter? If he were to play with Jokic, like he's high IQ, he should be able to get to the places, but
he'd cut.
Maybe doesn't have like the crazy athleticism to get himself awesome finishing opportunities. Like he just seems like such a wild card to me.
He is.
A good way. But
and I mean, again, one of the more divisive and kind of like entertaining guys in this class.
Yeah.
He's going to be a fun storyline to follow in the second half of the draft.
Definitely.
One of the first NBA drafts where I'm really going to be locked into those final 10 picks.
I care more about the second round than the first round.
Exactly. Before we talk with Hank and see you guys, Pac-12 stuff.
Yeah.
Final predictions. You know, it's summertime.
It is.
It's heating up. Summer solstice, sure.
Tonight.
Father's Day just passed. Harrison got married this summer. Lots going on.
Still married.
it's incredible. But if you want to have a Nikola Jovic-like smooth jumper, then you need to use Manscaped's Ultra Smooth Package 2.0. No, it's the Boxers 2.0, which makes sure your package is as smooth as a Nikola Jovic transition pull-up 3 against
Partizan.
Partizan. Thank you. I was going to say the Spanish under 17 national team, but Partizan sounds a lot better. God, Partizan against Megalex. That must be incredible. Just as incredible as when I pull my pants down to show off what the great folks at Manscaped with the Boxers 2.0 have been able to do for me this summer. Their products are unrivaled. They are homies. They've been around for a long time. Again, smooth like a Nikola Jovic pull-up 3. Get 20% off plus 3 shipping by going to manscaped.com/DNVR. That's right. Free shipping when you use that code DNVR at Manscaped plus 20% off. I feel like that was maybe the best read of my career. So
you nailed that.
Congrats to you guys being present for such an epic moment.
You landed the plane.
Yeah, thanks. We're missing a couple wheels and a motor, but I landed it. Jabari Walker, similar style combine as I just had a Manscaped read. Some are saying a little rough, kind of a loser of the combine. Frankly, disappointing because Jabari would have been great to see him come back. And just 2 years ago, I know we were talking about like, this is one of those guys who's obviously you get caught in hyperbole talking about freshmen, but like exactly what the NBA needs, a long guy who can hit a jumper and like the future seemed endless, and now he's declared. And, I don't know. Is he even going in the second?
That's a good start. So yesterday, I looked through 5 mock drafts all came out yesterday.
My kind of guy.
He was chosen in 4 of them.
There you go.
I feel like that's right around the right range. Probably 60% chance, 80% chance, somewhere in there that he gets drafted. Obviously, if he does get drafted, it's toward the end of the second round. You mentioned the combine. Like, the testing was not good. Came in as it was 6'6 without shoes. We use shoes here, so 6'7.5, but that still leaves you a little bit undersized as a power forward.
Pro shoes podcast.
And on top of that, like 32.5-inch vertical, which doesn't
not great
jump out to you. The body fat percentage was 56th out of 61.
That's bad.
Yeah. So in terms of the testing, like, you want to look at him as
that,
an athlete.
I just got to go back to that. 12.1% body fat.
Yeah.
Like, Jabari Walker always struck me as a skinny dude.
Yeah. It was strange.
He
it
has like the same body fat as like a Trevor Keels, who's like a big guy.
Yeah.
It's like wider than he is tall, Trevor Keels feels sometimes. Yeah.
It all just kind of feeds back to the same thing, like his entire game, which is he seems like he's just a year away. And there's something too, like if you're going to go to the NBA at some point, declare for the draft, get into somebody's system, let them kind of mold you into what they want you to be. Maybe they have more resources. You know, the G League resources, maybe not quite the same as the Power 5 resources. Sure. I'm not sure what exactly all that looks like, but he does seem like, just in general, he's not quite ready to play at this point, which is probably why he's down this far, because you look at him from an NBA standpoint, sure. It's like the pro is you get to bring him in and kind of develop him how you want. The con is he's sitting for a year most likely before he's ready to contribute. And so that's obviously true. It's just like his body with the jumping ability, like that vertical is going to improve if you get him in the weight room, do those sorts of things, because he is a good athlete. Things like the jump shot, where it just he knocks down a good percentage of them. I mean, he hit 5 against Georgetown in the NCAA tournament. It's just that, like, the release could be sped up a little bit. And defensively, like, there's some great plays, but there's also some times you're like, yeah, what were you thinking there? And so just a lot of what he does, just not quite refined, not quite developed. But the rebounding instincts, those are pretty freaky. I mean, led the Pac-12 with 16 double-doubles this season. Yeah. I think second was Christian Coloco with 10. And that was because he got hot toward the end. Nobody else with more than 7, maybe. So, I mean, he's out there, like, grabbing boards, getting points off of offensive rebounds. Like, he's freaky as a rebounder. It's just that when you get to the NBA level, 6'6".
I know.
What does that look like?
Yeah. We could have talked up Roddy's rebounding, too. That you need more than rebounding in the NBA. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But, I mean, this sounds like kind of a major loss for CU for, like, nothing. For a guy who's going to have to flounder for a couple of years at least until he figures it out.
Yeah. It's not a decision that everybody at CU loved, that's for sure. I mean, he would have been one of the three players most likely to be player of the year in the Pac-12 this season. Yeah. Mm. Like, obviously, those double-doubles, they speak for themselves. First team, all Pac-12 player. Like, that is, at the college level, a very, very valuable piece. At the pro level, it just... does that rebounding translate? Because maybe he's playing the three, and if he's playing the three, then you could see how he could kind of outmuscle some of those guys at that position and get some boards there. But that's not really a rebounding position. And then offensively, what do you do? So he's more of a tweener, whereas David Roddy is just like a what is he? Like, he's not tweener. He's just like this very unique piece that could just be really good. But Jabari, it's just will you fit into either of these roles?
The tweener label, it went from being the worst thing to like the kinda best good thing.
Yep.
And where I'm at, it's like it's really good to be a tweener until it's bad. And I feel like Jabari Walker's kind of in that bad territory.
Well, it's kind of what I meant with David, though. It's when you talk about, like, what's his great...
He's a good tweener.
That's his greatest strength. But if you're trying to be like, well, what would you be worried about? It's like, well, the same thing, kind of.
Yeah. Like, what is Jabari Walker really good at? Like, David Roddy's really good at a lot of things.
Yeah.
Jabari Walker, really good rebounder based on the numbers. That's about it, though, I feel like.
Yeah, and like that, the rebounding should not be understated. Like, he is a freak rebounder, and I don't know what it is. Like,
that's
the
valuable.
Long arms help. Like, the senses, like, he just always knows where the ball is going to be, and then the ability to get that back up on the glass and score, like, that was the bulk of Colorado's offense in stretches, was miss a shot and Jabari will go get the ball and put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
And for an offense that struggled, like, that was very valuable.
If you can guard some guys on the wing, shoot consistently from three, that you are starting to have the makings of someone who can get some minutes in a rotation.
But. Totally. Yeah. And last year, he shot, what was this, 52% from three? And that was really helped out by the 5-for-5 game in the NCAA tournament, but you can't just throw that out. That was a thing that he did when he just took over an NCAA tournament game and gave Colorado their first win in the tournament in 5 years? More than that, I think. Well, so it did dip down a little bit, like 35% this year, but he's taken tougher ones. He's like the centerpiece of the team. But putting up 15 as a power forward in the Pac-12, like, that's impressive, especially in your second year. It's just that there are those things that just need to be refined. Like, he doesn't have much of a left. Like, he doesn't have a lot of moves in the post. And, like, he'd be a good cutter. He'd be a good rebounder. He'd be a good three-point shooter when he's wide open, but doesn't have the quick enough release at this point to think that he's going to put up a bunch of shots. So,
yeah,
we just have to kind of wait and see.
Can he create his own shot at all?
He got better at it. The turnover numbers were too big, but you'd think that if he goes to the G League, he's probably playing in a role where he gets the ball in his hands quite a bit. I think with the season in the G League, he should be decent at it. Like, in a pinch, he could handle it. But I don't think you're looking at somebody who, like, oh, it's a playoff game. He's starting because he's
right.
Like, he's supposed to be passing the ball in those situations.
Did they bring him in for a visit, Harrison, the Nuggets?
Not one of these public group workouts that I know of. I know they've watched him play a ton, of course, as of late, over the last several years. Tim Conley
was up there a couple times.
Yeah, their whole front office has watched him live.
Yeah.
I know they liked Roddy more than Jabari Walker, for sure. If I never saw Jabari Walker play, and I just looked at his stats, like 14.5 points, 9.5 rebounds, 35% from three, 78% from the line.
Yeah.
6'8" sophomore with a 7'2" wingspan. Like, or I'd be like, hell yeah. Right. Yeah. Sign me up.
Totally.
But, you know, every time you watch Jabari Walker, because we watched him a lot, you're just always left wanting more.
Yeah.
He's just a little bit quicker, a little bit better defender. If he could jump a little bit higher, if he was a little bit taller. Like, he's so close, and some of those things might come. It just, he just hasn't proven it yet.
Yeah. I take a flyer on him in the second round.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Or hope you get that, you know, summer league invite.
Yeah.
Even better.
The game between him and Patrick Baldwin was a lot of fun. That was one that Tim Connolly was at. I think the Timberwolves had a couple guys. There were a lot of scouts there because it's obviously early in the season because it's non-conference. And it's like, okay, here it comes. This is Jabari versus Patrick Baldwin. Yeah. At that point, you're saying like, a couple guys, potential lottery picks right there. And then, I mean,
feet I wonder stuck if I have the stats here for those guys.
Baldwin, like, when you watch him play, he's just like chucking the ball up out of nowhere. Draft. What are you doing?
Terrible.
I've got the stats right here, actually.
Jabari was much better. Yeah, he was
Patrick
4 of
Baldwin
14.
Shot 3 of 13. Jabari Walker shot 4 of 14.
Oh my gosh. Yikes.
Yeah. And so you're all you've done me was like, oh, guys, that's come on. Crazy. This is supposed to be like this. And all the scouts are up there. And still, like, Jabari came out on top. He picked it up at the end, which was important, but. I mean, 4 of 14 was enough to get on top. 14
all right.
Points.
Final draft predictions. Jabari, Roddy, and what do the Nuggets do? Justin, you want to start us off?
Yeah. Nuggets trade 21. I think they'd package it with Monte and or Will for another player. And then I think potentially they trade 32 and trade back even further, depending on what they can get. I think Jabari goes real late. I do think he gets drafted, but I think he's probably one of the last 10 picks.
Huh.
And I'll go on record that David Roddy goes 33 to Toronto.
Love that. Love that.
Mm-hmm. I'll say I'm going to trust Justin, first of all. Yeah. David Roddy, Toronto 33. I'm all in on that.
That might be you now.
Yeah, can we get on a DraftKings prop? Yes. Hopefully they're not listening.
Yeah, that exactly.
Specifically. Yeah.
Over under 33.5. Come on, give it to us, you cowards.
With Jabari, there have been there have been two places I've seen him mock to twice. One is 58th, last pick to the Pacers. The other one is 55th to Golden State. I think he's probably like in that 52 range, but I like the idea of him getting to go to the Warriors. That just... I want to give him that awesome situation. So I'm going to say 55 to the Warriors. Maybe there's some intel there that Yahoo Sports has. Or we'll say that. Cool. Am I going to pick with my heart here?
Do it.
Yeah, okay. Let's say Nuggets package 21 and Barton to get up to. They're not getting up high enough. They'll throw 30 in there too. They get up to like number 8. They get Benedict Mathurin, who's just insane.
Ugh.
Like the muscles on that guy. Dreamy. Like when you look at him, you're just like, holy hell, that is a professional athlete right there. That's he's gonna be a freak defender. Like Dreamy. I know he's not there yet, but when you just like look at the body type and the traits that he has, like incredible. And on top of that, the 3-pointer. If other things come and he can create off the dribble. I don't know. I sat right behind the Arizona bench for the game. They beat Stanford at the buzzer, the Pac-12 mm-hmm. tournament. And just watching him on the bench, you're just like, that is a very special person. Like, that is a very good basketball player. And I'm going to say he goes to the Nuggets.
I'll say they trade 21 as well.
Yeah, that's what I have to lean towards.
Too. Yeah. Well. 30, I could see them keeping, though. 30th pick is, some people call it, like, the best pick in the draft mm-hmm. because you get the guy on the rookie scale contract for right. 4 years, but right. it's pretty much a second round possible. Pick.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. That's
to me, point. Like, if
also,
you
this
use...
is a great draft. Like, the depth at the end yeah. of it seems really nice.
And that's where, like, yeah. if you do something fun with 21, and there's not going to be a player fun enough for me, but, like, you trade up and go get somebody, or you trade that pick and go get somebody. If you want to take 30 and just say, like, yeah, this guy's going to sit on our bench for a year, but then he's going to be 6'8" and long, and he's going to be helpful a couple years down the road. That becomes a lot more palatable.
Yeah. Who do they take at 30? I really don't know. Like, if I knew, I'd say it. I think Wendell Moore would be a nice guy
yeah,
at 30.
Exactly, so yeah.
He is just he fits what the Nuggets, I think, should be looking for.
Yeah.
Role player potential, good defender. Doesn't try to do too much on offense at 30, even though I'm surprised he's getting mocked like in the early to mid second round. I think he's good. I'd yeah. be happy with him at 30.
Mm-hmm. Intriguing. I say they move up to 14, 15, trade Monte to like the Cavs and 21.
The Cavs.
To get like a Jeremy Sohan or a wing that's oh my, dropped.
If the Nuggets got Jeremy Sohan, man, I would
be
do terrible
ecstatic.
Things.
No yeah. kidding. Or an Oche Agbaji, you know, like mm-hmm. the two guys you've highlighted as trade up targets.
Yeah.
Or dream scenarios.
I don't know if they like Agbaji, but
I don't know if I like Agbaji, and I'm a KU guy.
Do you like Brown more?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Hollinger's ranking Brown ahead of Agbaji, and that really opened my eyes to yet, like, yeah, maybe for what the Nuggets need, that really is. So, and again, I don't know that that makes sense for an NBA contender, but maybe, you know, a little bit of that George Hill vibes that I've put out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm riding with Justin Roddy at 33, Jabari undrafted.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. I'll say Jabari undrafted too.
Okay.
But a lot of times what happens in the second round is
yeah.
teams will tell players, okay, go undrafted. We'll give you a preferred yeah. summer league spot. You know? You'll be the alpha on the summer league team.
Right.
How does that kind of stuff work? Like let's say hypothetically, you know, we're getting to the last 10 picks. David Roddy has not been picked. Could somebody call him and he'd be like, no, don't take me. And they yeah. would listen.
Yeah, they would. Because at that point, like, who knows what type of contract you're going to get second round, like maybe mm-hmm. 1 year, really low guaranteed money at that point. He'd be like, well, I could go to the Nuggets where I know they might like me for a two-way contract. And, you know, they have a nice track record of developing summer league guys and putting them in a good spot. Like, a lot of guys from the Nuggets summer league team just get actual contracts.
Right.
Like, oh, they have a good track record there. I could go there, or I could just, you know, be a second round pick on, like, Minnesota who, you know, I don't, maybe I'll get a two-way spot with them. Like, I don't really know the future.
But teams will respect that? Like,
yeah.
That's crazy to me. Yeah. I feel like an NFL team would be like, that sucks. We're taking you because we want you.
Right.
Yeah. At the same time, though, like, if you're on the fence and you're just like, this guy, one says, I don't want to play for you, that does make it a lot easier to be like, I don't want to touch that. Yeah.
I think teams draft players that don't want to go more often than we think. But
that's
I don't know. I was curious. Thank you for explaining that.
I just hope they trade and get some.
Your agent can signal, like, they can put out a bat signal that's like, don't draft me.
Right.
I'll be toxic.
They just have so much more power in the NBA, which is interesting.
Much more.
The dynamic of team building completely changes.
I just hope they get somebody dope.
Something dope and someone fun would be amazing.
Give me like somebody good.
That's the DMVR way.
There you go. So look out for that. Something dope, someone amazing,
like KCP,
and someone
like,
fun. Those are the
KCP. Get ready for it.
Those
man.
Are the draft yeah. storylines.
Give me Brogdon. Give me a fringe all star.
Yeah, Brogdon's just gonna get injured. Give me LeBron in Denver.
Justin gets
for
it.
All his live coverage on the draft. All his draft pieces thus far go to thedmvr.com. Harrison Wind has you covered. Justin Michael, all his great stuff on the Rams. David Roddy, his journey.
Yeah, wherever he goes, I'll break all that down.
Absolutely. And check out his podcast where he's had the Nuggets guys on. Henry at DNVR Buffs always had you covered on anything going up in Boulder. And yeah. And I'm your humble host, Andre Simone. We are the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery. And that Avalanche Ale. Go Avs. Use that promo code DNVR. Get your draft bets in. We'll be back next week. Unless there's a special championship edition of something that needs to be done. Stay tuned. Stay safe.